Good evening, church. Thank you so much for being with us as we kick off our Wednesday night summer series. I'm so sorry I can't be with you in person. My family and quite a few students from McDermott Road are at Camp Blue Haven this week, but I wanted to record a short introduction for tonight. Our congregational theme for 2024 is loving loyalty, unshakable commitment in response to unmerited favor. And it's the word response that we want to focus on during our summer series. Every Wednesday night from June until August, we'll have 13 men from McDermott Road bring us lessons about responding to God. As Christians, everything we do should be a response to God for what He has done for us in Christ. We did not initiate a relationship with God. It was God who initiated a relationship with us. What we can do is respond with loving loyalty and unshakable commitment. Our speaker this evening for the first lesson of our summer series is Mike Dixon. Mike and his family have been a constant blessing to McDermott Road for many years. In the past, Mike has served as a deacon and as an elder. He has taught countless classes and has volunteered in many other roles. He is one of the kindest and most godly men I know, and I'm very thankful to count him as a friend. I know he will bring an encouraging lesson for us tonight. Come preach the word, brother.
Touch it. I must have touched it. Sorry about that, brother. Third time's a charm. It's gonna just imagine how much smoother it's gonna go the rest of the summer. But I am grateful to be here this evening, and I really appreciate those kind words that Wes says. I love him so much. And he did such an awesome job coming up with this summer series. And the next slide, I also likewise put up the schedule so that you could see just what we're going to be covering this summer. And I think these are just incredible topics, incredible responses that we have to God. And as we contemplate all that He has done for us and has done, continues to do, and will do for us in the future, and just our response to Him. And I'm excited that I get to share with you tonight some thoughts around gratitude, around thankfulness. It's a topic, and as are all these topics, when you look at them on the surface, they might seem simplistic in nature, but then as you start to dig into them a little bit more, you see how rich and how deep these responses are that hopefully we all have in our lives and that we take and act on throughout our lives as well. So I'm really excited tonight to focus in on this first one, which is thankfulness. Next slide, if you will. I'd like to start with a short story, and it's an experience. So it's a story, but at the same time, it's real. It really happened to me. Shortly after Wes put out the call to say, hey, would you be willing to speak in this series, I had a business trip where I was gone pretty much the whole week. And I decided to take an Uber to the airport and take it back as well, as opposed to driving my own car and leaving it there and so forth. And so I was coming back and got into Uber, and, you know, from the airport to home's quite a way. So I had quite the ride in this Uber, and we had traffic as well. And I don't know if you're like me, but on my Uber app, I've checked I'm okay with quiet. You know, I'm okay with a quiet ride. I like that. And normally, I'm fine with that. It allows me to maybe collect my thoughts and so forth. But when I got in this Uber, I could tell that this gentleman, this driver, I could instantly tell he was a man who was focused on God. He was a man who perhaps was a Christian. And there was an outward sign with the cross that was hanging from his mirror. There was music and so forth. And then I could see the smile on his face that was a little bit different from maybe most of my Uber drivers. How about that? And as we went along there, a conversation actually did take place. And it very quickly, within a matter of moments, the words came out of his mouth that he was thankful to God. And, you know, whenever he said that, and I was like, wow, I'm supposed to in the summer to be thinking about thankfulness and gratitude towards God. And here I've got this scenario that has just fallen into my lap where someone voluntarily told me they are thankful to God. And so I said to myself, let's unpack that a little bit. Let's peel the layers of that onion a little bit and see what it is that he's thankful for. And so I asked a few probing questions, and I found out he was from Cameroon, Africa. And I had to quickly Google and brush up on my Central Western African geography. and figure out where that was. And so I asked him about his upbringing and so forth. And again, we had a long ride. And he said, you know, I'm just so thankful that God's brought me to America from where I was. And as we went through it, he gave me three primary reasons. The first, he said, was because when he came to America, he came to know Jesus. He said, in Cameroon, I did not know Jesus. He said, I came here, and the community that surrounded me of my friends gave me a Bible. They took me to church. They introduced the gospel to me. He said, I don't know if I ever would have known Jesus and God where I was from in Cameroon. He said, maybe I would have, but I don't know. He said, I just know that God put me here and brought me to him by coming here to America and this specific community that he's in. I thought, that's incredible. You know, that's just awesome that he has this new life, this new relationship with Christ and with God through that. And then secondarily, he said that he had fallen ill, and it was actually a disease he had transmitted or caught in his home country. And he said, you know, I didn't have any money, but I was able to get health care, and they cured me here in America. And he said, I might have died. I probably would have died back home. He said, a lot of young men my age did, because it's just the health care wasn't quite there. And then thirdly, he said, you know, I got to meet my now wife, and we now have a daughter together. And so he wrapped this together, and I'm paraphrasing and not doing the story justice, but he painted this picture of gratitude in my Uber ride home that I was totally not expecting. I was expecting to go from the airport after a long week just to get home, kind of expected quiet, and instead I got a lesson in gratitude. And the thing that struck me probably most about it was how natural it was. It wasn't manufactured, it wasn't forced, it wasn't coerced. It was natural, genuine, heartfelt gratitude. And I got out of that car and I thought, how many people, on how many Uber rides, has he probably shared that similar type of gratitude and maybe planted a seed, maybe changed a life, you know, and had a positive impact because of the gratitude that just naturally came out of him. And so that served as an encouragement to me and also a little bit of indictment to me to say, wow, do I really share that type of gratitude towards God in a way that really impacts people, in a way that's very natural? And, you know, the quick answer was, no, I don't. I need to improve in that area. And so tonight, as we go to the next slide, you know, as I thought about that story, which coincided so coincidentally with this topic being assigned to me, and it wasn't coincidence. I do believe that God puts people in places at the right time for the right experiences. And the more I started to study this, I said, you know, to myself, is gratitude towards God, is it an attitude? Is it a matter of the heart and the mind? Or is it a matter of action? And as Wes often asks us and answers for us, the answer is yes. That's right. That's right. I think the answer is yes. And I think the Bible supports that concept. And that's what I'm excited about this evening, is the fact that we're going to have an opportunity. What I would like to do tonight is a little bit interactive, I suppose, because I'm going to focus on four sets of scripture of God's word that focus on a concept around gratitude, giving thanks to God, why we should give thanks to God. I'll have a few thoughts about that, and then Aaron's going to pop back up and lead us in a song that reinforces that. Because what I hope we walk out tonight with is a rejuvenated heart, maybe a pumped up heart, excited and grateful for what God has done for us, but I hope we've also exercised a bit in the sense that we've expressed that gratitude, that the gratitude's come out of us, that it's not something that just stays here, but rather that we express. And then at the end of our service tonight, we're going to be concluded in a prayer. I've asked Richard Beasley to come up and lead a prayer and really focus us in that prayer on giving praise and gratitude and thankfulness to God for all that he has done for us. And hopefully that serves as a model for all of us moving forward tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the week, throughout the week, that we are people who not only have hearts full of gratitude, but that it comes out. Because if it stays inside, I think we're not quite getting the whole idea of this thankfulness, this response to God that we should have. So let's dive in to the first set of scripture here that I wanted us to take a look at tonight. We find ourselves in the book of Colossians, or the letter, and Paul's written this, and there's quite a bit before we get to verse 12 about old things that we were doing, old things before Christ that they were doing, and the new ways that they need to act, and we need to act as well now that we are in Christ. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in the hearts to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And as we maybe take a look at, okay, what do we learn in these verses? There are three things that really pop out or stand out to me in the next slide here relative to these verses. First is thankfulness is an integral part of our new clothing, our new DNA. Whenever we come to know Christ, just like that Uber driver came to know Christ, it's thankfulness is a key aspect of who we're supposed to be. It separates us. It makes us different from the way that we were. When we read about the sins prior to verse 12 there, the things that we were about, those are all self-centered, very, very indulging type of behaviors that he talks against and says we need to put those things to the side. Instead, the new behavior that we have is very much one of gratitude, very much one of loving and caring for others. The second thing is we direct our gratitude towards God. We certainly direct our gratitude towards one another. I'm so grateful for each of you. I'm grateful for all the relationships we have and the love we have in this church body. But we direct our gratitude as well to God. And that's really something that Paul mentions there. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He's ultimately the source of all of these good things that we are being thankful for. And then, of course, being thankful involves the heart. It's not just an action. You know, it is important that we just don't simply say things that aren't truly heartfelt, but rather it is a heart and mind and verbal thing that we do. It is something that we take action in there. So we're going to sing a song that helps back that up. The song we're going to sing is Let Every Heart Rejoice and Sing. I don't know if that was sung 6:30 and on. No? Okay, perfect. So this is going to be one that Aaron's going to come lead us, and hopefully it reinforces what we just talked about.
Let every heart rejoice and sing. Let choral anthems rise. Ye aged men and children bring to God your sacrifice. For he is good, the Lord is good. And the rills, while the vales and the hills a glorious anthem raise, let each prolong the grateful song and the God of our fathers praise, and the God of our fathers praise. He bids the sun to rise and set. In heaven his power is known, and earth subdued to him shall yet bow low before his throne. For he is good, the Lord is good, and kind are all his ways. With songs and honor the Lord Jehovah praise. While the rocks and the rills, while the vales and the hills a glorious anthem raise, let each prolong the grateful song and the God of our fathers praise, and the God of our fathers praise.
Thank you, Aaron, for leading us. That has always been one of my favorite songs. I tell you what, that is an uplifting song that reminds us that we should be praising God, thanking Him. As we move on to the next text, we're going to move to Paul's next letter, the one right after one that we read here, and we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So many things to learn from this passage, and really emphasizing verse 16, 17, and 18 there. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Next slide, if you will. We find ourselves in different situations throughout our lives. This evening, you might find yourself in stress or de-stress. You might find yourself challenged. There's going to be ups and downs in our lives, right? We experience those. In no way, shape, or form am I minimizing the pain and suffering that you may be in tonight or that you may be in tomorrow or the next day or the next day. We have situations throughout our lives, circumstances that we find ourselves in that are painful. But painful, stressful situations that hurt us, those situations don't mean that we can't also have gratitude. And as a matter of fact, gratitude can be a way for us to work through those situations in all circumstances, even when things are down, even when things are hard. That's a time to lean into gratitude. That's a time to count your blessings and to consider all that God has done for you and for us. Relative to continuous actions, I love how Paul is an action-oriented guy, isn't he? You read, and when we read his writings, there's so many active verbs that I see in there. I think that's the right thing, active verbs. I don't know. But the idea of rejoicing, right, and praying without ceasing, those types of things where you're just constantly being active. And I love how he threw in there, coupled in those active types of things, he threw in there, being thankful, right? God desires us to give thanks, right? Think about the last time that someone told you thankful, what that meant to you. We know that God appreciates and wants us to be thankful. It's part of who we should be about. It's part of that Christian DNA that we were talking about in the last section there. So we're going to turn our attention to the next song here. This song is one I love as well. It's God is So Good. So, Aaron, if you will, come lead us in that and let your hearts and minds meditate on the words.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so He cares for me. so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
Amen to that. Whenever I think of why I'm grateful to God, that simple song, isn't it interesting how simple songs like that can just have such a huge impact on you? He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. Those simple, simple words, but they're so true. And I pray that tonight that those types of words sink in and they stay in your heart, that they drive that gratitude and they drive that action of expressing that gratitude as we move forward throughout the week and into next week. The book of Psalms is a great place to look for the concept of gratitude and thanking God. You know, we spent a couple of minutes here in some of Paul's letters that we find in the New Testament. And I'd like to turn our attention to a psalm. And it's a little bit of a long psalm, but I think it's so powerful whenever we read through it. So I'm going to read these words. And again, let these words sink into your mind and your heart. Feel free to close your eyes if you wish. As I read them, just let them sink in. Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among the thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was failing or falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Wow. Almost said, I don't even need a slide after this. What do I say about that, right? It doesn't matter. That's an incredible psalm. But I did have some observations. First, not everything is perfect. Have you ever felt like you've been surrounded by bees, for example? Maybe you've literally been surrounded by bees, but have you ever figuratively, metaphorically been surrounded by bees? Felt like you were down? Felt like you had no way out, perhaps? I think we read in the psalmist's words there that our God understands us. Our God understands when we're in that condition. And He's on my side. God's love endures forever. Think about that for a minute, that word. Think about the things that endure forever. You know, these chairs, this carpet, this building, it does not endure forever, does it? No. The physical things of this world, relationships don't always endure forever. But we know that God's love endures forever, right? We know that His love is eternal. And then notice that both the opening and the closing of the psalm focus on thanking God. He uses the same verbiage, the same words in the first verse of the psalm as He does the second. And that kind of popped out to me because I'm like, well, He kind of repeated Himself. Repetition's important. Throughout that psalm, you saw the repetition. Multiple times He would say the same thing over. And I think that speaks to us as well, that having gratitude and speaking it and saying it, it's important that we repeat and that we constantly are grateful for what God's done for us. So we're going to sing a song, Give Thanks to the Lord, for He is Good, written straight from this psalm or sourced from this psalm. Aaron?
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. His love will reign. His power will reign. His grace will reign. His peace will reign. His love will reign. His power will reign. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. His love will reign. His power will reign. His grace will reign. And His peace will reign. His love will reign. His power will reign. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
Amen to that. Wow. Doesn't that psalm take on a whole new life of its own there by singing that song coupled right there with it? That is wonderful. Last set of scripture. I know we're getting close on time here. Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him, and He went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of this city who was a sinner, when she learned that He was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind Him at His feet, weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered or said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them loved him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. So you gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." As I read this, I am always amazed because we know this story. We know this experience was about this woman. We could place ourselves right there, couldn't we? We're the ones needing to be saved. We're the ones who need to be at the feet of Jesus, kissing his feet, wiping them with our tears. While she was not invited, she sought out Jesus. She knew what she needed. And brothers and sisters, aren't we excited that we are invited? Unlike that dinner scenario, we are invited to be at the feet of Jesus. Oil and perfume was a sign of respect. Her tears were a sign of her heart, in my opinion. And then she was forgiven much, so she loved much, and she expressed gratitude. This last song is "He Paid a Debt." And I love this psalm because, again, it's very, very simple, just like "God is Good" and some of these other songs that are so simplistic. But whenever you let the word sink into your heart, it can only drive a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. Aaron. Amen. We're at time as I close up here. And Richard, if you don't mind coming on up, brother. Things that we can do to cultivate more gratitude in our hearts. Taking inventory of the reasons for being grateful to God. That seems like a no-brainer. But how often do we get busy and we just simply let those reasons slip out of our mind? Let's be purposeful. Let's be intentional about thinking of why we're grateful to God. Express thankfulness to God in our speech and in our song like we'd have tonight, and then begin prayer with gratitude. These are very, very simplistic things, but speaking for myself, they spoke to me. They really made me think about how I need to work in my life. The next slide is a shout out to Wes and Travis for a great podcast they did a year and a half ago or so. I encourage you to go find that, listen to that. They've got some great practical tips as well about giving thanks in all circumstances. And then next week, we'll be focusing in on worship with Steve leading that. So, brother, please come lead us in prayer. Thank you for your attendance tonight and your participation.